Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. Last Sunday, we began our summer sermon series called Walking with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And the chapter begins with God calling Abraham. He calls him to leave his land, to leave behind most of his family, his culture. And God says, go to a place that I will show you. And as we read the chapter there in Genesis chapter 12, perhaps you read that a week ago, you learn that Abram actually did obey God. And by the way, he's still called Abram. God won't change his name to Abraham for a few chapters yet in Genesis. So Abram goes and takes his wife and his nephew Lot, and they begin traveling as God directs them. And eventually they come to a place named Shechem in the land of Canaan. And there, God says to Abram, this is the place. This is the land that I'm giving you. And so Abram stops there. He settles there for a little while. Scripture tells us he builds an altar and he dedicates it to God and he worships God in Shechem. A little bit later, he travels a little further south, still in the land of Canaan, to a place called Bethel. And again at Bethel, he builds an altar. He dedicates it to God. And he worships God. For he is in the place where God has taken him, the place where God has promised to make him a great nation and to give him an incredible family, as we talked about last week. But now, some trouble comes Abram's way, because while they're there at Bethel in the land of Canaan, a famine happens. It's called a great famine. And of course, there's great danger with something like a great famine. And for the first time, at least in our journey so far with Abram, his faith is being tested. Is he going to remain in the place where God has brought him, where God has told him to be, or will he choose to take matters into his own hands to deal with this famine that is threatening him and his family? Well, he chooses to take matters into his own hands. He decides to take everybody and go to Egypt, where he has heard that there is plenty of food. And in making that decision, in leaving the place where God had told him to be, and going to this other place, things start to go terribly wrong for Abram and for his family. We learn, again still reading in chapter 12, that as they get close to the border of Egypt, Abram says to his wife, whose name is Sarai, again, she will later be Sarah, but she is Sarai, says, wife, you are beautiful. You're a beautiful lady. And if I take you into this foreign land, they will want to kill me, because then you will be out without a husband and they can marry you. So in order for that not to happen, you, Sarai, are you willing to say that you're my sister instead of my wife? And Sarai agrees. Because if she is his sister, then people will treat him with honor, hoping to, you know, make a good impression on his so-called sister and maybe be able to marry her. So they go into Egypt, and sure enough, we're told that the king's officials notice Sarai, and Sarai, after they learn that she's a sister and not a wife, Sarai is brought into the king's palace and becomes Pharaoh's wife. And because she has been, and of course still is, Abram's sister, Pharaoh gives all kinds of gifts to Abram. Abram actually becomes very wealthy in Egypt because of all the friendship bestowed on him by Pharaoh because of his beautiful so-called sister. Well, Abram might be pleased that things seem to be working out, but God is not pleased with the situation at all. See, God has plans for Abram and Sarai and for the son that they will eventually have. and God's plans will not be thwarted. So we're told that God sends a plague upon Pharaoh and his household. And somehow Pharaoh learns that the reason that these terrible things are happening to him and to his family is because he has married someone's wife. And so he goes to Abram and says, "What have you done? You lied to me. And now look at what is happening to me. Look at what your God is doing to me and to my family." And he says, "Abram, take your wife and leave my country." And so Sarai is sent back to Abram. And I don't know that I'd want to be there at that meeting. That must not have been a good conversation. But Scripture doesn't tell us, so we don't know. But we can imagine how Sarai felt about this whole thing. Well, Abram and Sarai are now back together again, together with her family, and they leave Egypt. And this is where we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to read together the first 9 verses if you want to follow along. Genesis is right there at the beginning of the Bible, an easy book to find. We're on page 11. Again, chapter 13. So Abram left Egypt and traveled north into the Negev, along with his wife and Lot and all they owned. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. From the Negev, they continued traveling by stages toward Bethel. And they pitched their tents between Bethel and Ai, where they had camped before. This was the same place where Abram had built the altar, and there he worshiped the Lord again. Lot was traveling with Abram, had also become very wealthy with flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and many tents. But the land could not support Abram and Lot with all their flocks and herds living so close together. So disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. At that time, Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land. Finally, Abram said to Lot, "Let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of the land you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, then I'll take the land to the right. If you prefer the land to the right, then I'll go to the left." This past week, if you were following our Bible reading plan in Genesis chapter 13, Pastor McLean, who put together the Bible reading plan and the sermon series for the summer, had us read a couple of verses from the book of Psalms. And Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24 say this: "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. The life of Abraham is an illustration of this, these two verses. And indeed, I would suggest that your life and my life are also an illustration of these verses, which are a promise from God. That though we will stumble, and the verse doesn't say if we stumble, it's when we stumble. When we stumble, when we step outside of the place where God wants us to be, when we see the things going on in the world around us and we struggle and we become worried, we're unhappy perhaps with where God has us and what He has us doing, and we decide that things look better over in Egypt, so to speak, and we head off and we stumble along the way, and we will. Because whenever we step outside of the Lord's will, there will be stumbling. It's why God has us where He has us, in the right place, in His place. And yet, because trust is hard for us, and the struggles and the problems of the world impinge upon us, it is so easy for us to leave God's place. And we find ourselves stumbling. But the promise is this. The evidence of Abram's life is this, as we will continue to see as we walk with him throughout this summer. And if you take a look at your life, if I take a look at my life, I hope you will find, as I have found, that when I have stumbled, when I have stepped outside, God has not simply said, you're on your own. I have found that my hand is still being held tightly in His. And though I stumble, I do not fall. Have you ever taken the hand of a little child who is just learning how to walk? And as you hold that little child's hand, as you're slowly making your way across the floor, the child will stumble. They're just learning. They'll trip over their own feet. They don't know quite how to do it. But what does your hand do holding on to that child's hand? Ensures that that little one does not fall. And that is the image that Scripture is giving us here of a God who does not let us go. Although He is a God who knows that we will stumble, as we're still learning how to walk with Him, as we are still testing the limits of faith, and as still things come along that move us away from God in the sense of stepping outside of His will, but God does not step away from us. And so it was that although Abram disobeyed and went to Egypt, although Abram had his wife lie about their relationship and all kinds of things happened because of that, and it will have consequences in an ongoing way in Abram's life, still God did not let go of His hand. God held on, and we will continue to see God's leading and guiding and directing in Abram's life. And Abram is learning, and he is growing, and yet we will still see stumbles to come as we walk with him this summer. One of the ways that God has of being with us and encouraging us and bringing us back to Himself when we stumble. And there are many different things that God does. But one of those is to bring us back to a place where we were solidly, strongly, faithfully with God. With Abram, it was a geographic place. Notice where Abram went as he left the land, Pharaoh having kicked him and his family out. It says that he wandered for a little bit from place to place, another translation says, but eventually God guided him back to Bethel. Bethel was a special place in Abram's life. It was at Bethel. It was at Bethel that he had built an altar to God. It was at Bethel that he had dedicated that altar to God. You know, when you build an altar, you can build it to all kinds of gods. People build altars of all kinds all the time. But that altar was dedicated to God because that was Abram's God. And there he worshiped God. No altar building in Egypt. No mention of worshiping God in Egypt. I don't know about you, but when I have walked away from God and I know I've walked away, I'm aware of that. It's not as easy for me to worship. It's not as easy for me to pray. I don't seem to get as much out of Scripture. When Abram was in Egypt, there's no indication of his relationship with God. He had walked away, but God was still holding on tightly. So what does God do? He brings Abram back to that place. And it is a place where Abram knows that he has been close to God. And we are told there in verse 4 of chapter 13, and again, he worships God in that place. There are places in our lives that could be geographic places. Sometimes they are relationships or experiences. Times in our lives when we have been especially close to God, where our walk with God has been really strong, where by faith we have felt really good about our relationship with God. And God blesses us with those kinds of times and experiences and occasions. And one of the things that we need to be aware of, that it is a means of God to bring us back to Himself to either bring us to those places or to remind us of those places. And they're precious in our lives, and we need to be mindful of them. In the Christian tradition, a name has been given to those places that is used in different parts of the Christian tradition as being thin places. Thin places, because the idea here is that when I was in that place, the distance, so to speak, the way that we perceive it, the distance between me here on earth and God up in heaven was thin. It was a thin place. It was a place where I felt close to God. It was a place where I really heard what God was saying to me. It was a place where I really was living by faith. It was perhaps even a place where I had overcome temptation and I didn't take off for Egypt, but I stayed even though it was hard. Thin places or places like that in our lives. And God wants to continue to bring us back to them to remind us that even though we've wandered away, we have not fallen, that He holds on to us tightly. And He encourages us to return in one way or another to those places. A thin place in my life is a place called Eagle Lake. It's a camp. It's located about 9,000 feet above sea level in the Pikes Peak Range west of Colorado Springs. And it was there at Eagle Lake when I was a camper at 10 years old that I first accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, where I first really understood what it meant to be a Christian. I'd grown up in a Christian home, but that was the place that summer, through the camp counselors and the speakers and just God at work in my life through the Holy Spirit, that I really finally understood God wants me to say yes to Him personally through His Son, Jesus Christ. That happened at Eagle Lake when I was 10. When I was about 15 years old, I went back to Eagle Lake. Now it was like a trail camp, and it was a part of that trail camp experience and spending a lot of time with the Lord in various ways that I rededicated my life to Christ. And in ways I kind of wandered away, I'd begun rebelling a little bit because my parents were missionaries and I didn't know whether I really kind of wanted to be a missionary kid and things like that. But I realized that this is where I belong. This is where God wanted me to be, in close relationship to Him. And I told God that I would serve Him. I didn't know what that meant. I was just getting ready to start high school, but this is who I wanted to be. I wanted to serve God. It was about 3 years later, now having finished high school and getting ready for college, that a very close friend of mine was killed by a drunk driver. And I really started to doubt the goodness of God. How could a good God, a loving God, allow something like that to happen? There's evil in the world. I was aware of that. But it had not really affected me personally in any way like that did. It was the first person really close to me that I knew personally that had died and died in a terrible, terrible way. And I blamed God for that. And in some ways, I didn't want anything to do with a God like that. And I started to drift away. But then I was invited to go on a college retreat at a certain place above Colorado Springs called Eagle Lake Camp. And I went mainly because I had good memories of Eagle Lake Camp, not really because I wanted to be part of a Christian retreat, but I went. And there God spoke to me again. God showed me that He was still holding on to my hand. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. It was a beautiful moonlit night. The moon was shining off of the lake. And I took the long trail around the lake, a trail that I'd walked many times as a camper and as a trail camper. But I walked that trail and I had my first serious talk with God in quite a while. And God had a serious talk with me. And I relocated myself in my relationship with God there at Eagle Lake. It was several years later that I went back to Eagle Lake, now as a camp counselor working with junior high kids. And I met a young lady who was from the Pacific Northwest named Lori Graham. And Lori and I were married a year later. Eagle Lake. I've only been back to Eagle Lake a few times since then, but it will always be a thin place in my life. It will always be a place where I think back and realize that God, for me as a young person, as a child, as a teenager, as a young man, was at work in my life, showing me His love for me and helping me to understand what it meant to walk hand in hand with me. Didn't mean everything was going to be marvelous and wonderful, but God was indeed there. There are other thin places that I've had in my life. My parents, for example, both have been gone now for quite a few years. But there were people who helped me see what it looked like to walk closely with God. It is something they had done for most of their lives. And they showed me what that meant to them. And they helped me to do that myself and were a wonderful example. And they still are for me, if you will, a thin place. Another thin place that God has blessed me with in my life is my wife, Lori. For almost 42 years, she has been by my side. And she has been someone through whom God has communicated His love for me, especially at times when I have not felt the closeness of God, when I have been disappointed or upset or sad by something in my life, when I've been frustrated about being in ministry, when I felt like I was just spinning my wheels as a pastor, that nothing was really happening, when I was having a hard time making a connection with God. Lori is there, supporting me and loving me and caring for me and being that thin place in my life where God communicates something through her that perhaps I was having a hard time getting just kind of directly one-on-one. A thin place, a place where I felt the presence of God, a gift of God to me to say, Steve, I'm still here. I haven't let you go. Yeah, you've done a little stumbling here in the last, you know, few days, few weeks, whatever. But we're okay. Lastly, a thin place for me is when I spend my daily time with the Lord, spending time in His Word and in prayer. I lay out for God kind of what's going on in our life, the good and the bad and the ugly, so to speak. And I have a conversation with God, and I seek to hear what God has to say to me. That daily time with the Lord is a thin place for me. Sometimes Scripture uses the terminology of a holy place. It's a place where I experience the presence of God, and because I know that, because I know that I need that in my life, that there will be times that day that I will have a hard time hearing what God has to say, that I'll have a difficult time discerning God's presence with me. I want to start the day in that thin place. And God has graced me with His Word, and He has graced me with the privilege of prayer. And that's why that time is so important, because it centers me for the day, and it reminds me that God is who He says He is, and He is with me, and He's got me by the hand that day. Those are some of my examples of thin places. All of you have your own journey with God. All of you have had your own experiences, your own relationships. Perhaps there are Eagle Lake even type places that you have in your life, whether as a young person or whether as you were older, but places where you knew God in a particular way that maybe you haven't felt Him in a long time. Perhaps you haven't sensed Him in the same way. I really encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to take you back to that place, so to speak. And I hope and pray that you have ongoing relationships, ongoing experiences, ongoing opportunities that you take to be in those thin places with the Lord. He wants them for you. He is our Heavenly Father. And what is it that a parent wants more than in their relationship with their child than to be with their child? And so it is that God desires for His presence to be closely felt. And He desires for us to have those thin places. So allow Him to be close to you as you seek to be engaged in those things that have the opportunity to give you a more personal and direct and engaged experience with God. Walking with Abraham, the series of the summer, is a wonderful series because it teaches us such important things. And the important thing for today is this. We will stumble, just like Abram stumbled.
But when we stumble, we have a God who holds us tightly by His hand. And He reminds us of the times where we weren't stumbling, the times where we were doing good and saying, look, I'd love to get you back there. And together we can do it. Because those are the times that we were the closest. And God says, I miss those times. I hope you miss that too. God says, I know you've sinned. I know you've taken your life into your own hands and places. I know you've wandered away from me, but I'm not a vindictive God. I'm not an angry or a vengeful God. I am your loving heavenly Father. Let's together go to those thin places, and I will provide even more of them for you, because this is my deepest desire for you, that you know me in this way. To stumble, well, that's part of what it means to be human. But one of the beauties of Abram's story is this, is that as a result of our stumbling, as God brings us back, we find that even more so that we're in love with God and we experience His love even more strongly in our lives. God uses everything for our good, even the hard times in our lives. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the story of Abram that we will be looking at here through these weeks this summer, the story told in Genesis 12 and onward. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You're a God who promises to hold on to us. We thank You for these reassuring words from the Psalms. Heavenly Father, help us to know, even to think about, when have been those thin places in our lives? Those times we felt really close to You. We are so grateful for them, and we thank You for them. And we pray, Lord, that You would provide more of them, that we would be open to these times. Even, Lord, that we would be willing to take the time and to place our focus on You. So thin places can be not just something in way back in our past, in our childhood, or so long ago that we hardly even think about it anymore, but even day to day, a person, a situation, an opportunity to be with You in prayer and in a daily devotion. Help us, Lord, that these are the times, these are the experiences, these are the events, Lord, where we know that You are with us. We know that You have us by the hand. We can almost feel it. And we know that though we stumble, we will not fall. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.